following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Gooder, Randy Bushcutter with you for the next hour here on ESPN Radio with plenty of things to cover on today's program. We're going to be talking a little Shrine Bowl. The teams are going to the Shriners Hospital over the next couple of days, getting closer to coming in to Kearney on Friday with a little walkthrough, and then the game Saturday. You'll hear it live on Classic Hits 98.9. We'll talk with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Being down there at camp, they've been around them the last couple of days. There's been a couple of changes, a couple of minor injuries. We'll talk about that, how it will affect the game. We'll also talk with the new head football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, Kurt Finke. He has been at a lot of programs, and Central Catholic got put in a bind. There's no doubt about it. When you lose a coach in any sport, but especially a fall sport this quick, Randy, there's not a lot of options to replace it. You, being in education for a number of years, know what these contracts are all about. And Central Catholic was really not, and don't take this wrong, I don't know Coach Finke and his background. He has plenty of coaching experience, but whether he wanted to coach, this deep into his career or not, they just needed someone, and they had to look in-house. There's just not a lot of people that would let you out of a contract.
No, not this late, because if you're let out of your contract, then you've got to find somebody else to do your position. And chances are, if you're a head football coach and you're going to go, if you're going to be a football coach and you're going to go to Grand Island Central Catholic, you're probably a head coach or a very valuable assistant, and you've got to find a replacement. And you've already signed those contracts. It'd be very, very difficult to let people out of there. But I think in looking at the resume, I think Coach Finke is a very viable option, even if they had a more global search. But I have a feeling that they kind of had a limited number of folks that they actually could reach up to. But he's got a great resume. He really does. You take a look at it, the guy knows a little bit about coaching football. 15-year head coach stepping in, that's a pretty good replacement for the small pool that they could draw from.
Athletic family. He went to Rushville, went to Shadron State. He's been all over Nebraska, so he knows East Coast bias and West Coast football. And, I mean, he's been everywhere from Gretna and Elkhorn to Creek Valley, which is in the western part of the state, as is Hemmingford, and of course, growing up in Rushville and helping out there as well. So, and it's not just football that he's coached. When you're in those smaller schools, you have to coach about everything. Yeah. He's had his hand in a lot of things, even volleyball.
Yeah, and 24 years as a head girls basketball coach. Now, say what you want, but I mean, you're a head coach. You know situations. You know how to keep your cool. You know how to run a practice. A lot of those skills translate very, very well from whether it's a girls sport or a boys sport, but right into that next area. So I actually think this is a very good hire for Grand Island Central Catholic, who was kind of in a tough spot. And again, not throwing any stones at Charlie Shoemaker, who had an opportunity to come up. I mean, opportunities come up when opportunities come up, and you have to leap at them. So again, it's just one of those things. Timing-wise, it wasn't a great time for GICC, but I think they got a good coach.
Well, we will talk with him as well. Looking forward to chatting with the new head coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. We've also got the Super Regional set, and there have been some amazing baseball games, but you cannot feel any worse today than if you're a North Carolina State fan, a Wolfpack fan. Yeah. That's what makes sports so insane, is that great comebacks also make great goats out of other people. I mean, this game is 8-1, North Carolina State at TCU, bottom of the eighth, two outs. They have four outs to get. They're up 8-1. And they can't get it done. Just everything that went wrong. TCU makes in a couple of hits, but there's a hit batsman, there's a couple of balks, there's a wild pitch. North Carolina State committed six errors in that baseball game last night, and it ended up going extra innings, went 8-7 to the ninth. A balk and a wild pitch allowed the tying run to score, and then they win in the 10th. And TCU, who was supposed to come out of here, ends up coming out of here.
Well, and again, that is probably the most dramatic of the championship games, probably the most dramatic single game. But what about the region between California and every game went to extra innings? Texas A&M. Yeah, I mean, that was just every game, just back and forth, and they played like 2-3 extra games when you add in all the extra innings. In fact, we were watching a little bit of it, I think, Sunday night, which was the second straight night that they went into like the 12th or the 13th inning. My wife said, "Didn't we just see this game yesterday?" And I said, "Well, the score, I think, is different, and I think we're wearing different colored uniforms today. So, no, the hats are different." All right, so it was a different scenario. But what a great – that wouldn't have been a great regional to spend the weekend at and watching that. That would have been a lot of fun. And that's what makes the college baseball game so exciting, is you never really know what's going to happen. You're going to get that situation you had with North Carolina State, and then you have an entire series. It ended up being best 2 out of 3 between Cal and Texas A&M. And what a great series that turned out to be.
Also, tomorrow we'll talk more about the College World Series and Super Regionals. Sean Ryan from College Baseball Insider is set to rejoin us again tomorrow. We'll also talk with UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen tomorrow as the week progresses. More talk on the Belmont. We're live out of studio on Friday at Johnson Lawn Care. So we've got a special show coming up on Friday, a couple of hours to do on Friday's program. We've even switched the days of the co-hosts up a little bit. Randy's with us today. We got Jimmy in tomorrow. Damon's in with us later in the week. He's got Little League and baseball that he's taking care of with the kids, so our schedule is messed around a little bit. Then later on today, I'll be co-hosting with Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity. So you get two more hours of me
Woo!
Today.
Ooh.
Or if Chris is the host and I'm the co-host, you get about 15 more minutes of me in a two-hour program today. We're going to talk with Blair Kirk off the Kansas City Star and Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network and other special guests as that fills in the day with Chris Schmidt.
Does that mean you'll get discovered now? That'll be your big break. That'll be your big break, and you'll get excited. I know that. I'm just being that guy.
Give you a break.
I'm that guy. I'm a little rambunctious after my trip to Kansas yesterday.
And I know that there's a lot going on in the world, and we're going to have a very busy show, but I just, you know, I know that being a sports athlete and some of the things that have went on behind here, I know that you have ran right out, and I don't even know if it's on newsstands yet, but probably pre-ordered your copy of this week's Vanity Fair.
No, I have not. You know, here's the thing that just cracks me up about this whole thing, and for me, from my perspective, and that is, when he was an Olympic athlete, I still didn't care about Bruce Jenner. You know, there never has been a moment that I really cared about Bruce Jenner and where he's at and what he's doing.
Never. Heard of Bruce Jenner.
I've never cared. I mean, great, he was a decathlete. I know he was on the Wheaties box. That's the level of knowledge about him, and that's it. And that was 30 years ago. Didn't care then. Certainly don't care now.
It becomes it's not even a political thing. It's just a cultural thing.
And I'd say
it's
cultural,
so
yeah.
Easy to poke fun at and make jokes of. There's so many jokes out here, but in this day and age, you're not allowed to have fun with a whole lot of things, I guess, unless you're Jimmy Kimmel or, you know, late night comedy.
You
got
to
be very, very careful.
Yeah.
I guess if this is a serious issue for some, it's a serious issue for some. I know it's something that I can't wrap my noggin around here at that age. What what he's going through, what he wants. But here's what I chalk it up to. The whole television reality show junk has if it is or isn't, that's just the way I see it. The Kardashians, the Hollywood, the TV, you know. Mm-hmm. If Bruce was living his life somewhere else without a Kardashian, he'd probably be out on the speaking circuit doing things.
Probably. And so, I mean, he'll probably end up being there as well. I actually, say what you will, I think there's a little bit of courage in terms of, I'm not comfortable with this life, I'm going to move to this other life. That takes a tremendous amount of courage, you know. And again.
Really?
I think it does.
You
think
it's courage? If it was just, if it was anybody here in Kearney, Nebraska.
Well, we just wouldn't know it.
Well, that's right.
But since
Bruce
he's under a microscope,
you're going to know about it regardless.
Right.
So he's making money.
That might be true, but
he/she is making money.
Yeah, but it's very public. You know, people are sticking their nose in, and what I think is about as private as a decision as you can have.
Good Lord, yes. Here's my whole basis for just even bringing that up a little bit. You know, ABC has got some of the exclusive rights to it. You know what? There's more important things going on in the world, people. I don't need to see 45 minutes of your Good Morning America focus to this.
When they get to stuff like this.
Something important in the world.
Yeah, when they get Kanye's new daughter or whatever. When they get to all that stuff, I'm the first half hour of GMA is about all I can stomach.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us anytime. And I was told that our Twitter, what do you call it? I mean, we've got an inbox for our Dent Popper emails.
Yeah.
What do we call the Twitter? There's a Twitter vault? Twitter safe? What do we call it?
It shows up on our account. We have a Twitter account. It shows up on if you tweet at us, it lands up on our account.
Account.
It's there.
This ain't a bank.
It's on Twitter.
Ugh.
Follow us on Twitter.
At ESPN 1460 1550. And of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The 2016 College Hall of Fame football banquet or a ballot has come out today. This will be voted on. And then, like in December of 2016, they have the banquet. College Football Hall of Fame drags out their ceremony longer than any other thing in any other sport, which is great, whatever. You get to talk about it a lot. I mean, it seems like, okay, we elected Brian Bosworth and so-and-so and so-and-so, and then 18 months later, we're still talking about it. No, the banquet's tonight, no. But the Hall of Fame ballot is out, and they always have around 75 ex-Division I football players. This year, it's at 76. There are two Huskers, Eric Crouch and Zach Wiegert. Crouch has been on there, Nebraska, mm-hmm. with Will Shields. And
Zach Wiegert was really, really good. Let me just say that.
Who am I forgetting that just went in?
Athletic director. Trev Alberts.
No. Yeah, Trev Alberts. Yes, Trev Alberts is going in. Yes, and then, of course, Tommy Frazier, all going on here lately. So Wiegert now on the ballot. Eric Crouch there, and it's funny as I was going through this highlighting, I'm going, oh no, you don't highlight Kansas State. And I mean, I highlighted all the Big Ten guys, but then being in the Big 8 and Big 12, you got to look back at that as well.
Yeah.
A few of the names.
That's who he played.
A few of the names that, at least to me, are out there. I mean, there's some of them I'm just not going to know. Morton Anderson, Michigan State kicker.
Well, you know him because of the pros.
Michael Bishop, Kansas State quarterback. Derek Brooks, Florida State linebacker. You got the Brown boys out of Miami and Florida, and Jerome and Lomas. They are there. I mean, it's going to be hard to pick some of these guys. Terrell Buckley, Florida State. Keith Byers, the running back at Ohio State. Kerry Collins, the ex-quarterback at Penn State. Tim Couch, who reversely probably won't get in the College Football Hall of Fame because his pro career was so terrible.
Yeah.
Out of Kentucky.
He was good in Kentucky.
Randall Cunningham, UNLV. He's been on there a while. The ex-running back at Iowa State, Troy Davis, who did so many things. One of the very first kind of weebacks, multiple, could do it all, that was recognized. Mm-hmm. I know Roger Craig, so I know that there too. Tim Dwight out of Iowa, Jumbo Elliott from Michigan. Of course, Kirk Gibson, he's going to continue to be on there. Torrey Holt, Rajib Ismail.
Don't punt to him. Don't punt to him. Don't punt to him, Colorado. Don't punt to him.
Ken Norton Jr., UCLA. I'm going to X him. Yeah. You get to vote for 11 of these 76.
Yeah, he was an incredible college linebacker.
I'll be voting for him.
Yeah.
Antoine Randall L. of Indiana. Simeon Rice, who went to Illinois. Andre Tippett went to Iowa. Some of the folks that are a little older, our age and a little older, remember him. Brian Urlacher, New Mexico. We mentioned Rod Woodson, Steve Wisniewski, some of the names there. Then conversely, Randy.
Well, the difficulty of this is how do offensive linemen get themselves, you know what I mean? I mean, you don't
block
notice
for Heisman
them.
Trophy.
Yeah, block for a Heisman Trophy winner, right. Or you're part of the pipeline, or you're part of something bigger. It can't just be you, but, you know, that's the difficulty, I think, with offensive linemen. There's no staff there to stand on. Defensive linemen get their sacks, quarterback rushes, blah, 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 all that stuff. But offensive linemen, that's tough for them to get in.
I chuckled here. We must have run out of coaches to put in. They've only got five. We're going to vote for two. And Danny Ford and Daryl Rogers, I believe, have been on there for a while. Some of them, maybe they're just dipping back into the old-timers section. You got Billy Jack Murphy of Memphis. I think he's been on there. Danny Ford, who was at Clemson in Arkansas.
Won a national title.
Daryl Rogers, Arizona State, Michigan State, other places before that. Pete Cawthorn Sr., Austin, Texas, and Texas Tech. And Jim Carlin, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and South Carolina. Daryl Rogers had the most wins out of any of those at 129, but they all had winning percentages between 60 and 70%. No matter who's selected here, there will be no wow factor.
But there'll be two coaches out of there?
Yeah.
You got to think Rogers and Ford, don't you? I mean, you'd have to think, unless there's something in there, somebody more innovative than I'm aware of.
That's the whole deal. You would really have to have a campaign to give knowledge of the other guys to some of the folks that are voting, including myself. The division... two, three, all the other divisions also have this, 92 players. You vote for four from the football divisional player. Marlon Briscoe, who played quarterback at UNO, and then Dwayne Fritz, who punted the ball at Shattern State, are there for names to be recognized. There's a few other from the RMAC and the MIAA. And then Al Zickman is on there as one of the divisional coaching candidates for the second time. So he's one of 27. You vote for two there.
Yeah. And again, I'm seeing the rest of the list. I mean, Zick certainly seems very, very worthy of that honor. No question about it. I mean, very instrumental in terms of just the – if there's a Mount Rushmore at UNK Athletics, Zick's on it.
I'll vote for him. Coming up, we're going to talk a little football with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. The Shrine Bowl coming up this Saturday. Busy couple of weeks here for the Huskers. His thoughts on the latest recruits. It's all coming up after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A few thunderstorms are possible early today, otherwise cloudy with highs near 83, south winds 20 to 30. More thunderstorms are possible as we head into Wednesday with a high of 81.
Right now, 63.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac. Be a part of your Midway Auto Dealerships, whether it's their new used car superstore on South 2nd Avenue next to the existing corporations that they have there. If you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Midway can take care of you. Go to thinkmidway.com. Maybe your graduate's getting ready to go do some work. Maybe you've graduated and you're just looking for a work vehicle. You got enough stowed
away. Got to add to the fleet.
Get you ready for college. It's time to go see them out. Thinkmidway.com. And maybe if you're looking for a little bit of a work experience and want to join the Midway staff out there, go to MidwayCareers.com. They've got a need for product specialists. But with the expansion, they are also looking in all areas. And you can find out exactly what the job descriptions are at MidwayCareers.com. Your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, the College World Series, again, every game will air right here on ESPN Radio and on our sister station, Classic Hits. We've got the 8-man All-Star game on June 20th and the Shrine Bowl 57th edition coming up this Saturday, June 6th. And really have a little Nebraska and Division I flavor to it a little more and more over the last couple of years. Sean Callahan from Husker Online never takes vacation. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Sorry, I'm a little windy out here. I'm walking back to my car. We're in Omaha, watching the Omaha Metro teams in their annual camp right now. It's called the MG Camp. So just getting out of that right now and heading back to Lincoln to go watch Husker Camp this afternoon.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've seen, because there's all kinds of camps going on all over the place now that school's out.
Yeah, you know, obviously Nebraska has started up theirs, and yesterday we were at Shrine Bowl camps as well as Nebraska camp. Today we're at the Omaha Public School camp and then Nebraska camp. So there's a lot out there going on out of the year.
It seems like, Sean, over the years, it used to be people went to camps just to get better, but now it's to get found, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think for the recruiting standpoint, it just allows you the chance to go work out in front of coaches and whatnot, and they get that chance to see. And Nebraska's a state where we don't have spring football, and you know, you go down to states in the South, like Texas and Florida and the Carolinas and, you know, Georgia, they have spring football in those states. So, you know, when college coaches come out during spring recruiting, they're able to at least go watch a live football event, where maybe a kid from around here, you know, they can go watch a track practice or something of that nature, or maybe a workout in the weight room. But this allows them the chance to, you know, go see them work out in person.
Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean, just from it may be one of those things a coach feels but has to say something different. What is the feeling about having high school spring football? That seems like over the last year to 18 months, you hear so much more from all coaches in all sports and read and hear more from national coaches and pundits about how it's great to be diversified, play a variety of sports. This would yet really whittle it down to even more of a one sport if there was spring football.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to happen. I mean, I just don't really see how you could do it in Nebraska unless you did it after track season. But there's no way. I mean, look at a place like Kearney. I mean, there's no way you could do it in Kearney if you were going to lose track athletes. I mean, you'd expect those guys to still be a part of the track team, because that's arguably Kearney's best sport. So are you going to take football players away from track? And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I think if you did something, you would have to do it maybe the next week after, but then that cuts into summer, and that cuts into the summer vacation. And, you know, teams do go to team camps locally and other different things that are out there. So there are other things that you can do, but a full-fledged you know, 2 or 3 week spring football. I just can't see it happening. I mean, you could maybe do something in the morning before school, but then again, is that going to affect a baseball player? Is that going to affect a track athlete who has a meet that week or whatnot? So I don't see it ever happening in our lifetime in Nebraska.
One thing it has kind of changed a little bit with those camps, and I'm doing the air quotes with this a little bit. It's almost in some places with the elite camps and things like that turned into a little bit of a combine, too. So even the camps themselves are changing to a little bit toward that recruiting element.
Yeah, like Nebraska yesterday, they did combine testing. They've done combine testing for years at their camps. That's kind of what Boyd Epley and Osborne would do. You know, they'd get all the testing data, and at that time it was a way ahead of its time. And you know, they had a formula that, you know, if a guy that did well in certain drills, it would translate to football. So yeah, testing is important to measure explosion and power and strength, and it's not the only thing you look at, but pretty much any camp you go to is going to perform some sort of test, whether it's a 40-yard dash or a vertical or, you know, a pro agility run or a broad jump, something of that nature.
About the latest running back recruit out of Texas, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you look at Alfonso, and he's kind of a surprise name. He came out of nowhere, and I don't really think many people had him on their radar. We interviewed him, I think, on May 17th when he got his offer, and you know, you kind of wonder, it's like, is this a guy that Nebraska would take, or where's he rank on their board? And clearly, they had liked him. You know, it's my understanding he had been a commit for a couple of weeks, and he finally came out public with it. And Nebraska, I don't think, was necessarily prepared that he was going to announce it Saturday night at 10 o'clock, nor was I, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to announce that commitment on Twitter Saturday night like that. And, you know, it's clearly a guy that Nebraska sees something in. They like a little bit bigger back. He's 6 foot, 190. He's really, really physical type runner. And I think he fits the style that Mike Riley wants with offense.
Sean, recruiting is such a strange thing anymore. It used to be you'd have your recruiting the day of national letter of intent signing, and that was it. That's all you really kind of heard of. But with social media, all these juniors who will be seniors coming up this fall already are kind of getting the offers and have kind of at least announced their decision via Twitter. Does that help? Does that hurt Nebraska? Is Nebraska keeping up with the times with the new coaching staff? Where does that kind of fall for the Huskers?
Oh, I mean, they do everything they can on social media. There's no doubt. If you're not on Twitter, you know, you're way behind the times in college football recruiting. I mean, you have to have your head coach on there, your assistant coaches, because you're allowed to have unlimited contact on Twitter with players. I mean, they have what's called a direct message. So if I follow you and you follow me, you could have direct messaging back and forth. And for a lot of kids, that's how they communicate. And Nebraska, particularly, a lot of their communication and recruiting comes through direct messaging on Twitter or things like Facebook.
Direct messaging, or the exact same thing as texting. Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean, you have been around the camp for the Shrine Bowl, and kids in getting accustomed to what they needed to do over the weekend. And basically by this time they make their trips to the hospital, and media day Thursday, they travel to Kearney Friday. They have to have pretty much everything ready to go by tomorrow. What are you seeing?
Well, I like on the North team, I'll start with them. You know, they have Marquise Lewis, the receiver, going to South Dakota State, and I look for him to be kind of the main option. I mean, they're going to go to him a lot. They've suffered an injury at quarterback. Jack Kalina from Papillion, I think, is going to be out. So they are really down to one quarterback, Pierce Allman. Their backup quarterback at this point is Wyatt Mizur, but they need him at running back. So the North is battling some injury-type issues. But Pierce Allman's a great quarterback. Marquise Lewis, you know, and then I mentioned Wyatt Mizur. You know, he's got a quad injury, but, you know, I hope we can at least see this kid as the player we got to watch this season. I'm really excited to see what he can do. Michael Decker on that offensive line. You know, Tanner Borkard is playing in the game, and he told us that he's strictly going to Nebraska to be a student. That's kind of an interesting storyline. know, being a guy that had major Division I offers, turned them down. He will not play a single sport in college. He'll be pretty much the king of the intramural league in Lincoln. But, you know, the South team, I really like their makeup. If I were to rank them on paper, I would say the South probably has more talent. They've got six players going to South Dakota State on that roster. Excuse me, five scholarship guys, and I think one of them is a walk-on, so six total. Then they've got the kid going to Kansas State, Adam Holtorf, and then Deshaun Neal going to Nebraska. I mean, it's a really, really loaded roster top to bottom.
Is there some, I mean, obviously there's a lot of high-profile skilled players, and doing the air quotes with the skill player here. Are there some offensive, defensive linemen that you're really kind of looking forward to looking at, as well as maybe some matchup that that they're going to run into at the Shrine Bowl that you really want to watch two kids go after each other?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think the South offensive line is so good. I mean, you have Brian Arp and Matt Clark from Syracuse. I mean, there are just some big bodies. Adam Holtorf, you know, you got three Division I guys on that South offensive line, and I think that will be a key matchup, because I don't know if the North defensive line has the bodies to get pressure. You can't blitz in an all-star game, so, you know, your defensive line is basically playing 5-on-4. You have to be able to get to the quarterback without blitzing. So that will be interesting to see if that North defensive line is going to be able to get through, because I really think the South O-line and then also the South linebackers. You've got Jake Harms from Crete, who threw the shot put like 53 feet as a linebacker and long jumps like 21 or 22 feet. And then you've got the kid from Beatrice, Jessup Workman, who's also going to South Dakota State. He's a state champ wrestler, and he's carried the football as a running back 40 times in the game before. Those two linebackers on the South are very, very good players going to South Dakota State.
Sean Callahan with us for another moment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Do you expect more fireworks, or will the Lions be just so darn good that we're going to have another low-scoring game?
I think the biggest thing is quarterback play. And you know, I feel like definitely Pierce Holman is a good quarterback that can get the ball there. On the South, you know, you've got McGinnis from Crete and then Isaiah Ramsey from Scutt, two pretty talented quarterbacks. But the wind will be a factor, I think, if the wind doesn't play a role. But you've got good receivers. It's too bad we don't have Cluster Johnson in this game. That would have really helped. But you need to have the quarterback play and the receivers. And the years that we've seen it in the Shrine Bowl with good high-scoring games, that was when Tyson Brockmeyer was slinging the rock around, and you had Easton Stick. You know, he could throw the ball well. But, yeah, I think a lot of it is can those quarterbacks get the ball out and put it in a place for the receivers to make plays.
Sean, I think for a year people kind of looked at the rosters for both the North and South squads for the Shrine Bowl, and they kind of gauged what kind of caliber high school football was in the state when you took a look at the number of Division I athletes were playing on the two squads. With that in mind, kind of what is the status of football in the state of Nebraska?
Well, it's definitely, I think, getting better. Right now you have 15 kids for next year that are going to be seniors that already hold Division I or FCS offers. Five of those 15 have Division I offers, and then you know, the other 10 are FCS. So I think when it's all said and done, you'll have about 18 to 20 kids this year go Division I or FCS, and that's not too bad. And I think a lot of that is the Dakota teams. They're no longer Division II, but they're still offering the same caliber of player that they would have probably offered at Division II at a high level. So I think, you know, that's the biggest thing that's changed recruiting locally. South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and South Dakota, those three teams are now considered Division I, and they come in Nebraska, and they offer more guys, as does Ohio with Frank Solage, and now you got Wyoming with Craig Bohl. Turner Gill comes in here with his Liberty team. You see a lot of teams come in to Nebraska to recruit that maybe we haven't seen the last few years.
Sean, finally, some articles out. Sean Eichhorst spoke, the athletic director for Nebraska, with some media folks over the weekend, including SIP. And all the questions, or a lot of the questions, obviously, point towards football, football, football. This football team, the next time they get together, we're going to be getting ready for the season. Everybody is praising something that hasn't done anything yet. So as far as this year's team, where do you think we're at right now?
Well, I think, first of all, I'll start on the division. I mean, I think the Big Ten West is wide open, and everyone's kind of predicting Wisconsin just off reputation, but I still don't think you can call them the clear-cut favorite. I mean, if anything, I think Minnesota should be thrown in that conversation. Both Nebraska and Wisconsin have to play in Minneapolis this year. So I think Minnesota, if I was looking at the division, that's the one game that, you know, I think is huge for Nebraska going out there. We know Jerry Kill, what he's been able to do the last couple of years. So it starts with the division. I think Nebraska is right there to win this division. But, you know, there's a lot of good players that have left. I think Nebraska kind of needs to decide what direction they want to go with their offense long term and what they want to do with Tommy Armstrong. I think the defense is there. They've got a lot of players on defense. And can the players kind of buy in and adjust to a new scheme?
Breaking news, Sean Callahan says Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game. So, Sean, we'll see your smiling face Saturday.
Yeah, I will be doing the sidelines for NET. So we're driving up Saturday morning to come up there, and looking forward to we're staying the night in Kearney Saturday. So I'm looking forward to getting up there and having a good, hopefully good weather for the game.
All right, buddy. We'll see you Saturday. Always appreciate the insight.
All right. Take care, guys.
Sean, see you, Sean Callahan joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Again, 2 o'clock, the kickoff coming your way on Saturday, as you'll be able to hear the game on Classic Hits 98.9. Coming up, we're going to talk with the new head football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. At first, though, let's talk a little lunch here. If you're heading out for lunch, why not try the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney, getting ready for the NBA and NHL Finals. We've got all the Super Regionals this weekend, Major League Baseball, getting into some good golf and all those other things that are going on. Or you just want to sit back with your family and enjoy a great meal. It's all there for you at the Chicken Coop. If you're trying that chicken with the new duck wings, how about putting a little of the new mango habanero sauce on it? It's a little sweet and tangy all at the same time. Enjoy your favorite, something off the appetizer menu, burgers, pizza, all that normal great Chicken Coop food. But they've also got a variety of steaks. You can get ribs, try those out. And, of course, Tuesday, a dollar off salad. Now that we've rolled out of the month of May, Tuesday is salad day at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney. When we come back, we'll talk Central Catholic football with their new head coach, Kurt Finke, after this.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com. Back in time, a caveman, his name was Ugg, got tired of gathering nuts and berries, decided that meat was a neat treat.
Mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. So Ugg now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply, west off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland, proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney, Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney, Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland, Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust, Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein, Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready now. Go,
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Randy Bushcutter with you on today's program. Midtown Mart Cooler Question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, what event has your attention the most this week? And I guess the most popular sport, NBA, gets half of the votes here. The Belmont Stakes, 25%. College Baseball Super Regionals, 25%. Not that much for the French Open, the NHL Finals, or the Women's College World Series. I voted Belmont because it is historic, and it looks like American Pharoah is going to walk to the Triple Crown here. It almost is a conspiracy theory that they're not putting enough horses in any of these races after the Triple Crown. And then I said NBA and NHL because they're still going to be going over this next couple of weeks.
True that. True that. You know, if it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, I mean, that would be different than Game 1. But it's not.
But
it's not. But that is what I'm looking forward to.
I chuckled when I saw this yesterday. What are your thoughts on the reinstatement of Alabama-Birmingham football? We heard that, you know, they stripped that. I mean, they've already caused irreparable harm to the program.
They got the death penalty.
They're so far. No. They stopped. Well, they made their own death penalty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it might be a self-imposed death penalty, but they gave themselves the death penalty.
I mean, they put everybody's made other plans. I mean, it's just like you're starting over.
Well,
idiots.
SMU's football hasn't come back, and they got the death penalty. Was that late 80s, early 90s? You know, and they haven't come back yet. You tell me how good the Dragons are going to be and the Blazers are going to be in football.
Here's our cooler question. What are your thoughts on the reinstatement of Alabama-Birmingham football? It's not a big deal. They have football? It's good for college football, or the Huskers should schedule them immediately. I'll vote number four for this one.
I like that one.
Because I think it is a big deal. And, yes, they're not a national power, but they were in a bowl game. And it's good for as many college football teams as you can have out there, I believe. I mean, if they're going to have that many bowl games, they've got to have teams to put them in there. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com.
They were bowl eligible when they received the news that we're cutting you.
Trav was not their AD. Come on. Well, the new head football coach, Grand Island Central Catholic, and it kind of happened in a whirlwind as he talked about at the press conference yesterday, and we welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show, Kurt Finke. Coach, congratulations, I guess. You're welcome back into the coaching realm. How do you feel, and good morning?
Oh, thank you very much. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, but, you know, like you said, whirlwind's a good way to put it, and, you know, just got a lot to do in summertime and to get ready for fall football.
And Kurt, you got to be hitting the ground hard. I mean, there's all these camps and everything like that. I mean, talk a little bit about taking over the reins so soon, so quickly. What are some things that you're doing this week that you didn't think you'd be doing this week?
Well, getting the playbook back together, for one thing, you know, trying to get that organized and to make contact with the kids and get cell phone numbers and emails and just trying to make contact and calling coaches, trying to figure out if we're still in their camp and doing some 7-on-7, things like that. So a lot of communication, you know, it's hectic, but it's fun again. And it's just a fun feeling to have right now.
How much, because it looks like from what you said, maybe the assistant coaching staff will still be intact. How much have you talked with Coach Shoemaker?
You know, I haven't had the chance to talk to Charlie too much about the coaching switch, seeing as he's in Kearney at the Shrine Bowl. So, you know, I texted him a couple questions, but you know, this is a busy week for him. It's an important week for him, a special week for him. So, you know, I don't want to do anything that was going to take away from that. So, you know, I visited with most of my assistant coaches, and you know, right now we're just getting our, you know, ducks in a row, trying to make sure we're organized for mostly July, because that's when I know we go to our bigger camps and when the kids are more focused, I think, in July. But right now, just, you know, concentrating on the weight room and trying to get a little bigger, faster, stronger as best we can.
Kurt, and I apologize, I'm not exactly sure how much of a gap there's been since the last time you were coaching to now, but talk a little bit about the decision to get out of coaching, and I'm sure you were at peace with that decision, and then the decision to kind of look at your wife and say, well, Jill, I think I'm going to be doing this again.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time coaching football, and then when we moved to Ashland Greenwood, I was assistant on the Ashland Greenwood staff for 3 years, and just a wonderful experience. But then my daughter, who graduated last year, I helped coach softball there. So I got out of football, and then my daughter graduated, and I took a year off of coaching completely. That's not true. I coached junior high girls at GICC. So I tried to keep in there, but, you know, had a discussion with my wife, and, you know, I know she wanted me or knew I wanted to coach again, and she's pretty content with it, and we don't see much of each other during the year anyhow. So, you know, it's one of those things where she's happy for me and I'm excited to do it.
We're talking with Grand Island Central Catholic's new football coach in Kurt Finke. Kurt, there's a lot here on your resume. And if you could just familiarize not only us, but the fans out there, graduating from Rushville, going to Chadron State, all these schools along the way, can you kind of put them in chronological order and what you did along the way at each stop?
Well, you know, I started right out of high school at Rushville helping Coach Scott and Coach Mitchell, and then played at Chatham State for a couple years, and then got married and got a job and moved out to Elkhorn and Gretna and joined those two staffs in the junior high and freshman program, which was absolutely wonderful with Coach Elledge at Gretna was a great mentor. And at that point, we decided to move back out west, and I took over the Hemingford program. I had some great players and spent 8 years out there and had a wonderful time. Then my wife basically got into administration, so I kind of followed her around, to be honest with you, and I was pretty flexible. And after Hemingford, I coached at Plattsmouth for a year, and then after Plattsmouth, I took over a program at South Page, Iowa, and we did 11-man, we did 8-man, and spent 3 years there. Narrow transferred to Wilbur Claytonia when my wife worked for the Department of Education. Took over that program, I think, in 2001, and spent 3 years as the head coach there, and was an awesome experience, great kids and great staff. And at that point, my wife moved us again out west, so we went out to Creek Valley, Chapel and Lodgepole, spent 3 great years there. And at that point, once again, my wife took a higher administrative job in Ashland Greenwood, and here we are today. So that's kind of it in a very, very quick nutshell.
Well, and the beauty of that is, I mean, Crusaders have been to the state playoffs the last 10 years. Hey, if you play Ashland Greenwood in the state playoffs, I mean, you'll be able to get some inside information from the curriculum director.
Well, yeah, you know, I told Ryan Thompson, who's the head coach here, and I've a great friend of mine, been with him, around him for 5 years, and I told him, that's what I was going to say at my press conference, I just want another shot at them, and I'm not sure that's true or not, because, you know, they're still going to be very, very endowed here at Ashland Greenwood. So love the opportunity, though, to get a chance to play them again. And I know the 10-year run is very impressive, and, you know, it just gets tougher as they, you know, go to 9 games and less teams in the playoffs. So we'll definitely have a challenge for us. I know that.
And Kurt Finke with us for another minute here, the new head football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. Kurt, what do you know about your team? You've been around the kids and the school this year, but what do you actually know about your team outside of the number of seniors that they had?
You know, I know a lot of talent walked out the doors in May, so we got big shoes to fill. That's no doubt about it. And the kids that are coming back know that, and they're very prideful. And you know, we got a lot of heart coming back, and we got some really good seniors coming back. And Nathan Boone and Josh Punchikar and Austin Walton, just to name a few. I know Trayton Rule's in there too, and of course Bryce Seelock, who's a great kicker. For us, and so, you know, we definitely have the talent. They're going to have to get used to my system, which is a little bit different than Charlie's, but it should be a very, very good experience for all of us. We're going to have to definitely grow each week And, of course, like most C1 schools in the state, trying to stay healthy.
Kirk, again, talk about the change in system. What is going to look different? What are the fans going to notice different? What are some of the things the players are going to notice different versus what you do and what Charlie has done?
You know, I'm not exactly, you know, sure the major differences. I know we don't – I don't spread it out near as much. And you know, that's odd for me because I come from a throwing background, graduating from Rushville, and we're still going to throw the ball a ton. It's just we don't spread it out as much as I think Charlie did. And the no-huddle thing, we'll use it once in a while, but not exclusively. So, you know, we're a little bit more down to earth and you know, just hit you in the face and keep rolling. But basically, I'm pretty flexible as a coach, too. You know, we're gonna find what works and stick with it and see what the kids' strengths and weaknesses are. And instead of them adapting to my program completely, I'm going to adjust the program to meet what they can do on the field.
Now, Kurt, I had my first experience driving to Hemmingford for the state football playoffs this past year, and it was amazing to me, being a lifelong Nebraska kid, that there was still more state out there. It's a unique little community, and there's two or three of the places you've stopped along the way here that are doing pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, I'd really like to take credit for that, but I really can't. You know, I thought about that myself, but it's been, I've been gone so long for most of them, but you know, I know that the Hemingford program, when I left there, I left in 98, and great people, great atmosphere, great community. Ashley Green was just a hotbed right now of football, and Ryan Thompson's, got one of the better coaches in the state. So, you know, I've got a chance to meet some good people in that, and I'll steal anything Ryan has and use it for us.
Now, do you go down to Parker's and have lunch every once in a while?
Yes, I do. I'm not going to lie. That's a favorite place to eat. Yep.
It's not too bad. We should have come down and done the interview one-on-one right there. I could have taken care of that and then walked across and lost some golf balls. It would have been perfect.
That would have been great. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kurt, it's a pleasure chatting with you, and hopefully we'll get to know you a little bit better and talk again when the football season rolls around this August.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You bet. Congrats.
Thanks, Kurt. Good luck.
Thank you. That's the head football coach, new head football coach, Grand Island Central Catholic in Kurt Finke. I don't know. It'd be hard to find a guy with the traveling resume, and you found out why.
Yeah, makes sense.
Usually the wife and the kids follow the husband and his job. Sometimes it's the other way around, and that's kind of what Kurt's been doing here, and you got to be fortunate to find a lot of places to land when that's the case.
Yeah, when that happens, I mean, you have to be fortunate that there is a position, that there's a job for him to do there as well, because, yes, at administration, you get those wonderful opportunities, but if you're only going to get one salary versus having two salaries coming in, you'd have to kind of weigh that. So they've been fortunate, and also says something about his ability as administrator, coach, and teacher, that he's hireable, that people want to have him come in there as well. They'd find a spot for him.
Before we have a little more fun in our final segment, 180 right here, it's just broke that all this stuff that's going on with FIFA and World Soccer, and they just had their election last Friday, and Sepp Blatter was reelected for the fifth time. He has just resigned as the president of FIFA, the World Soccer Organization. Caleb, do you have more on that?
He said he is going to call a special election for them to come up with a new president just 4 days after being reelected. And I think that's mostly to do with, over the weekend, his second in command getting that, being at the middle of a $10 million fund with stuff being paid out.
Yeah, to
his assistant. Yeah, his assistant was in on the take as well. And again, a 79-year-old guy. You've had the greatest conspiracy. You've had the greatest controversy in your organization's history. So let's reelect the 79-year-old guy who was in charge of overseeing everything leading up to that, because that will bring a tremendous amount of change. So, please note the sarcasm that tone was intended to display.
Does that mean that the print will be the next World Cup president?
Well, he was the only one that had the guts to run against him, you know, the first time. I don't know. There's got to be somebody in there. And again, it was kind of funny. Blatter said the other day, you know, it's like, oh, the timing of this right before the election. Well, that, you know, that's kind of, that smells funny. Well, you're not very good at smelling things out, are you, buddy? You know, if all this is going on, you're not very good at sniffing stuff out. So what does this smell like for you, Sepp? I mean,
I guess if you're a bad bladder, it would smell.
Oh, and he's about as, I got to think he's about as dirty as they come. I mean, in terms of being part of this. Really, he has to be, doesn't he? He's either completely inept because all this went on right underneath his nose, or he's part of it. Either one, he probably shouldn't be the president of FIFA.
Gut reaction?
I'm happy that he's gone. I mean, this opens the door to cleansing the organization, which needs to be cleansed.
Well, and it's so – I mean, we're talking a decade down the road before anything changes because everything is kind of set in place. But
well, again, I don't know if they'll move any of the World Cups. I mean, but by the way, if the games – the Americans could host the Women's World Cup, and they start playing on Saturday. You know, right. I mean, the Americans could take it over because we have the infrastructure for that. We have the stadiums to play at, and we know how to do stuff, you know. But I don't think they'll move the World Cups. I don't think they will.
My gut reaction is he didn't have to take a bribe, but he knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys that could use the lining of their pockets, but it's – yeah, when they were there for that vote and you just saw the setup and all the suits and ties and all the bottled water and all the people flying into foreign – yeah, really? So there's your breaking. That's going to be your big story, and you're going to get to see Bob Lee all day long on ESPN.
Smile. Bob Lee will smile. You don't get to see him smile very often, but he was one of the harshest critics of Sepp Blatter because, well, he just kind of knows soccer, and he knows how – that's the only way this thing's going to get straightened out. So I think Bob Lee is going to have a very nice day today.
We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hit this one high and deep. Right center field, way back there, and home run.
Are you looking to hit an insurance home run? Contact your hometown team at the Kroll Agency for protection written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. The Kroll Agency, the IMT Group, and you. A team that can't be beat. The Kroll Agency, with offices in Hastings, Minden, Kennesaw, and Roseland. Online at KrollAgency.com.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's, call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
The Royals take on the Texas Rangers this weekend. Friday is Girls Night Out, and the first 10,000 ladies get a Royals summer scarf presented by KC Chevy Dealers. Plus, it's Buck Night and summer fireworks. Saturday at 1:10, the first 15,000 fans get a Lorenzo Cain ALDS bobblehead presented by Farmland. Family Fun Day Sunday at 1:10 is also K-State Day, presented by Fox Sports KC and Rally House. Tickets online and at Hy-Vee.
Now that's forever Royal.
Hanging with us is like spending an afternoon at the pool with your buddies, only without the water and women in bathing suits.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
That would be noteworthy.
I am a Facebook sensation.
That would be worthy that you hit a putt. Yeah, that would be worthy. I can see why that would be well publicized because that happens so rarely.
Yeah, well, it's like no other.
Oh, there you go. Like, that putt was like no other. It went in.
Like our friends at T&L Irrigation, visit your local T&L dealer like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney to find out about T&L's Navigation Corner System. It's the newest item on the market from T&L. Work it along with their PP3, and you can, again, control it with your GPS. Wherever you're at, your smartphone, your home on your computer, you don't have to be right there to be pushing the buttons on the actual unit itself, and you can find out more about all that has to go with T&L's brand new GPS Navigation Corner System. It tracks multiple constellations, reduces signal loss behind tree lines. No buried wire is required. Continuous movement of all the units. Simple and safe with the low voltage. Two patents pending on this. Fast startup time. It's all part of the GPS Navigation Corner System. See your local T&L dealer today, or you can go online to TLIRR.com.
You talked about how it would be tough if you're North Carolina State getting up today in terms of blowing that lead in the regional. How about UCLA? I mean, number one national seed. They're the only one of the top eight that actually lost their regional. And both tight games that they lost to Maryland, they looked unstoppable. I mean, statistically, they led the nation in pitching, in hitting. I mean, they just – everybody thought this was a dynasty team, and they don't even make it out of a regional played in their own place against a Big Ten school. ACC/Big Ten.
Well, LSU should have been the number one national seed. I don't know if this would have all played out, but I tell you what, now Virginia and Maryland play. You talk
about a couple
of
three seeds. That's awesome.
But yeah, but where they are next to each other, both been in the ACC, they renew that rivalry. We kind of talked with Sean before this all started a week ago that Virginia and that USC San Diego, he thought San Diego State, that four seed, actually had a chance to get out of there. UC Santa Barbara, the number one seed, went 0-2. And barbecue, and that left it wide open. And Virginia came out of there. Coach O'Connor, of course, with all the Omaha connections. I think that's going to be a whale of a matchup, Virginia and Maryland, just because of all the backstory. The newspaper guys won't have a problem here. They've got plenty to write about.
Oh, yeah. And again, whoever wins that next round, in the first round of the College World Series, whoever comes out of that matchup between a couple of three seeds will take on either Arkansas or Missouri State. Missouri State is the lowest national seeds still left in the tournament at being the number eight seed. So, again, the door's open there for Maryland and Virginia to make some noise.
And Dave Van Horn, if he can beat Missouri State, comes back to Omaha, then you've got only the fifth time. I would have guessed it was more. This format has been used since 1999, and only five times has a four seed actually come out of a regional, and VCU, the Shaka Smart basketball school, is now trying to make noise in baseball, and they will be taking on Miami of Florida this weekend in Miami.
And again, Dallas Baptist, I mean, that was not a bad draw for them, and I'm not taking a shot at Dallas Baptist, but it wasn't like you're going to LSU.
A lot of Dallas Baptist fans offended by
I mean, you're not going to a program or a school that is used to being the number one seed in a regional and is really kind of built for that. So VCU, a bit of a good draw for them, but you still got to go out there and play, and they look pretty good.
All of that is on the one side of the bracket. The other side of the bracket should be way tougher. I was questioning Houston being a number one seed. Louisiana Lafayette came out of there. They had a great win against Rice, because I thought Rice, you know, always made some noise. But I mean, 1-1 TCU and A&M, 1-1 Illinois and the defending champ Vanderbilt, 1-1 Louisville and Cal State Fullerton. It's going to be much tougher to advance to the College World Series final out of that side than I believe it will be out of the other side, where you have Florida State knocking heads, and then you still have Miami and Missouri State. A majority of the one seeds did get through, 11 total, I believe it is here.
And you mentioned Louisiana Lafayette. The Raging Cajuns played three Houston schools in Houston. They got out of the regional being the only non-Houston school, because you had Houston and Houston Baptist. That was the first round matchup. And Rice, obviously, across town as well. So, again, they had to beat a lot of Houston schools in Houston to get through there. And they're the only non-number one seed left on that side of the bracket. So there's a lot of talent there for the Cajuns to make it back to Omaha.
If our producer wasn't a rookie and still on probation, he would have had Larry Gatlin singing Houston right there, just to follow you up, but that would have been hard to find in 15
seconds. Well, you'd have to know that song exists, and so I can't throw any stones at Caleb there, because I got nothing. I've heard of this Gatlin guy, but I got nothing.
It it's good for the Big Ten that they've got two, but the odds that either one of them get to Omaha or both of them, I think it's always tough for the defending national champ, and that's what we're sitting here with Vanderbilt. Not only do you have to have talent that graduates, some of that talent's going to get plucked away by the Major League Baseball draft. And by the way, Kyle Simons from Texas A&M has been a big part of their run here out of Grand Island baseball and a Central Catholic. We talked about that last week. He actually golfed with Coach Roop at Grand Island Central Catholic, and now he's making appearances and being a part and contributing to their victories.
Yeah, and again, I'm not predicting there'll be two Big Ten schools in the College World Series, but Maryland, do they really have to be fearful of Virginia? And in Illinois, they're going to be at home against Vanderbilt. Now, granted, they're defending national champions, sure, and I'm not saying that's easy, but at least you have the home field advantage. You know, so it's possible we could be 0-2, but it's also possible that the conference could be 2-0. And boy, wouldn't that look nice? You know, people talk about how bad college baseball is in the Big Ten. Well, that certainly would put a different line of discussion to that. And, I mean, that would put that to bed, at least for a little while.
Again, all the games in the College World Series from Omaha will be right here on ESPN Radio. And, Randy, I think it's one of those guilty pleasures. And with not a lot on last night, with the baseball kind of winding
down. Yeah, it was
down,
quiet night.
The Women's College World Series fits its way in here, and you have two of the best teams. There's no underdog here. Florida is clearly that good. And it looked like they were just going to pound Michigan last night, and it's 3-0 forever. Then Michigan able to break through in the sixth, 3-2, can't get the tying run in. Then in the seventh inning, first and third, nobody out, can't score.
Yeah.
And a ground ball in the infield that should have scored. They went to turn the double play to give up the run. The ball's hit towards second. The shortstop makes the play. No way. I mean, if you throw her out at home, you still got two players on then. Just a base-running blunder. But, boy, on the biggest stage, it wouldn't matter what sport it is.
Yeah,
if you miss a free throw with 3 seconds to go in a one-point game, it's going to get talked about. And the coach was sending her from third, and she just froze.
Yeah.
Just froze.
And it is such a fast game. Softball is such a fast game that if you freeze for not even a second, a half second, you're done, you're toast. You absolutely have to know what you're going to do with the ball before it gets there. It is such an extremely fast game compared to baseball. Now, I'm not saying baseball is a slow game, but you see guys in baseball all the time knock a ball down, get back to their knees, and throw somebody out. That's a base hit in softball. I mean, you have to be ready to go because you have such a short period of time to get from point A to point B to get the ball where it needs to be going. So just a momentarily freeze. And it is, you know, a lot of guys in baseball would be able to go, oh, yeah, I need to go and be able to run that. But you can't in softball.
Everybody's in action tonight for Legion Baseball in the area. Hastings, Johnson, Imperial, and Five Points will host Grand Island, Wells Fargo, and Home Federal. You'll hear the senior game from Duncan Field at 8 o'clock on 1230 KHAS. Kearney Post 52 and Runza will host North Platte. Kearney Little Caesars and Five Points will play at St. Paul, while GIU Save and Tom Dinsdale will be hosting Central City. That is all going on tonight for American Legion Baseball. And Jack Sock didn't win, but at least he was competitive with Rafael Nadal yesterday at the French Open.
Last American standing. I mean, that's from Lincoln, Nebraska. That's pretty cool.
And before you rush to judgment here about the next great American out there, Sock in some recent interviews has been talking about the clay court surface and how it has benefited his game, how he is playing way better on clay than any other surface. So we'll see if that translates into Wimbledon next month and, well, later this month, and the United States Open.
And it's not going to hurt to have that bit of confidence as well. So I feel happy for him, and hopefully that'll be a little infusion of success into his career.
Randy, thanks for the great show today, man.
Hey, let's beats working for a living.
Come on up. We want to thank the guest today, Kurt Finke, new coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, Sean Callahan from Husker Online to talk Shrine football. Tomorrow, Sean Ryan, college baseball insider on the Super Regionals, and UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.